Next question from Gopala Acharya Das. Our son Yadu Nandan, 4.5 years old, came one day after the school, which is run by devotees, and asked why he had to say, "Excuse me," after belching. We can hear Srila Prabhupada sometimes making heavy noises during the class. And we have seen many sannyasis pass air or belch and say nothing. Probably talking about me. Could you please explain how one should behave according to Vaishnava etiquette when one happens to burp, belch, or spit, etc., while with others? Well, at least according to Indian culture, as I've seen it, if someone happens to burp, belch, spit, pass air, or whatever, they just go on with life. They don't do any prayaschitta and decide they have to three times do dandavat parikrama of the whole of India to extirpate their offense. And they don't even say sorry or any such thing. And I've not seen in Shastra any such thing that one should do anything or say anything. I used to find it quite amusing. I'd go in Calcutta to some big Marwari's office, some huge guy, and be talking to him, and in the middle of talking, he'd just slightly go to the side and make a big fart, and then just go on. It's a little gross, I thought. But I don't see anything in Shastra that one should react while doing so. Whereas in British culture, this letter is coming from Britain, people are very civilized in Britain. And after belching due to eating such foods as beef, ham, chicken, and so on, because they're very civilized, they might belch or fart, and they would say, "Excuse me," or "I'm sorry," or such a thing. So it's considered proper etiquette in cultured Britain to apologize for making such noises. And Vedic culture is not. Probably it's best if you're living in England to do that. In Croatia, if you burp or belch or fart, you're supposed to say, "I'm sorry," or "excuse me," or something like that. It's more cultured to do so. The bricklayers don't do it. It's considered more cultured. All right. So Gopal Acharya is from Poland. He also lived here in Salem for a year. Maybe he lost the habit. I also, when I go to England from India, I have to remind myself all that every time you have to say please, thank you, and people get upset if you don't say all the time please, thank you for everything, every little thing. They think there's something wrong with you. So if you're in that country, to some extent, we may assimilate their culture, because otherwise people think you're very rude. So no harm to assimilate that culture to that extent. Although if you come to India and for every little thing you have to say please, thank you, and if you happen to some noise comes up, some bubble of air comes up through your windpipe and makes a little noise as it gets expelled through the mouth, and you have to apologize for that. People might then wonder, what are you apologizing? What's the problem? So different cultures in different places. On the whole, we want to adopt Vedic culture, but if we're living in other cultures to some extent, we may have to adopt some of their usages. Even if we're living in a community of devotees, people, visitors come and they visit, and people are very much conditioned by the culture they're raised in, and they really think there's something, they think there's something really wrong with you if you don't apologize after burping. In Bengal, after eating, especially if you're a guest in someone's house, if you burp, that's considered polite. Here in Tamil Nadu, it's supposed to be a sign that the food has been well accepted by the stomach. In other words, that it's good, good food or something like that. Here in Tamil Nadu, is it like that? No. No. All right. I think the culture of receiving guests and feeding people is much stronger in Bengal because of the, especially among the Vaishnavas, it's a major part. Bhungte bhojayate chaiva, feeding others and taking prasad. And in Bengal, it's a very important part of Vaishnava culture, taking prasad with all devotees, regardless of caste or social status. Whereas in Tamil Nadu, the caste lines are still very strong, despite receiving guests, inviting guests. It was part of the strong part of the culture, but now it's gone down. They don't treat equally. They'll feed them outside, is it? The lower caste people would be fed outside. In Ramanuja Sampradaya, theoretically, especially the Tengalai, they're supposed to have no discrimination of caste. But it's still very strong. And even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, it's supposed to be all equal, but then it got commandeered by the Brahmana caste. And it's very difficult to break down this idea of status. Within our ISKCON also, we see in India, it's like the big devotees, small devotees, there's this big, huge distinction between temple leaders and everyone else. That's there, the senior devotees should be respected, but it's... we have to be careful with this also, that we don't develop some kind of caste system or something like that. Je bhaje she bhara, whoever worships Krishna, that is a great person.